In a world of AI fakery, how do we decide what reality even is? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. It's getting harder to believe your eyes and ears on the internet. Artificial intelligence tools can generate convincing images, videos, and voices. Chatbots can spit out confident misinformation. And Twitter users, for $8 a month, can basically impersonate anyone they like. The specter of an internet full of fakes has a lot of people worried about an epistemic apocalypse, basically a total breakdown of our ability to perceive truth and reality. It's something Joshua Habgood-Coote has written about. He's a research fellow at the School of Philosophy, Religion, and History of Science at the University of Leeds in England.
I feel like there's been a lot of very catastrophic discourse about the kind of effects of various new kinds of technology on our epistemic practices, which is to say the practices which we use to gain knowledge about the world, to find out truths beyond what we can see and hear in our immediate environment. And the thought is every new technology is going to catastrophically disrupt our practices for generating knowledge, and we're going to completely lose track of truth wholesale. So partly I want to engage with that discourse and do some critical thinking about whether those kinds of very catastrophic predictions are really justified.
What can we learn from how people have responded to some of the recent examples of AI fakes?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of really interesting cases. So the image of the so-called Drip Pope, right? So this was a set of images that were produced of the Pope wearing some kind of designer coats, which were extremely fashionable. And I think a bunch of people did think that these were genuine images of the Pope.
I bought it.
Yeah. So you might think okay, I got fooled this one time. Am I going to get fooled again and again? And the question is what are the stakes on you believing that this is an image of the Pope? Actually very low.
Right, which maybe is why I bought it, whereas those fake photos of Trump being arrested, I think people were naturally a little bit more suspicious of.
Yeah, exactly. So there's also a whole set of social practices around checking images of politicians, and you can look for other sources of what's been going on with Trump today.
Are there examples from the past of how society has adapted to new epistemic challenges like this?
It's important to look at the history of deepfakes. There's a whole lot of practice in the late 19th century of people touching up portraits to make them look better. Actually, at the end of the 19th century in journalism, all photographs that were printed in newspapers in the United States were, to some lesser or greater extent, changed and modified to make them look better. And what they did, they came up with a set of social norms against faking. So this isn't to say that the problems are not going to be serious around deepfakes and other kinds of faking, but the long problems with history, and that in a way we're throwing away possible solutions if we forget that history.
It's interesting, talking about the role of technology in all of this, because I think we've talked a lot about it with social media, the idea that it has, allowed for this kind of proliferation of misinformation and threatened democracies and all of these things. But I think that there is a discussion to be had about whether the way that people are using social media in this way is sort of a symptom of, as you say, social practices that were happening before social media allowed for this, or, whether the technology kind of instigated this kind of thing.
Yeah, so I kind of got into this topic by thinking about discourse around fake news and post-truth around 2017. And it was pretty clear that a lot of the discourse around fake news and post-truth was almost acquiring the kind of character of a moral panic discourse, where it was there's this terrible problem, society is going to collapse, democracy is going to collapse. And none of the people who were writing about real problems about misinformation and propaganda were paying attention to the kind of longer history of decline and trust, not just in media sources, but in various kinds of like social, like quote unquote, authority sources and the political causes of those phenomena. So there's a way in which like the cart's before the horse.
Yeah, it's kind of a chicken and egg thing.
Yeah. We see people like believing false things and we're like, it's connected to technology. So we're like, oh, the technology has got to be the cause. And like, that's the thing that's driving social change rather than like doing some socially informed, like politically informed history and thinking about like the way in which a political context has led to decline of trust in media sources and also the economic context, right? So in a way, social media is much more important insofar as it's had economic effects on local and national and state media, rather than it having like terrible effects on the way that people like engage with reality. And it's like they've taken away the funding model for lots of forms of media, which did have like, they weren't perfect, but they had like some degree of reliability in keeping track of the world.
There seem to be two main fears when we talk about this, sort of one that people will be very easily deceived by these new, you know, synthetic media. And the second, the conclusion of that, that people will just be so skeptical of everything that they see that no one will believe anything. There will be no shared reality. Is there a risk of that kind of skepticism?
The conditions which are more likely to cause that kind of very generalized skepticism produced by people talking about like how desperately terrible the effects of manipulated media are going to be. You don't become skeptical about like all videos that you see after you've seen like one deepfake video. You might do if you read a book which says, it's called something like, oh, the epistemic apocalypse is coming. And it tells you about all of these ways in a kind of quite persuasive way in which like we're losing contact with shared reality. So in a way, there's a really horrible self-fulfilling prophecy where people talking about the possibilities of this very general kind of skepticism or like loss of contact with reality are actually more likely to be causing the thing they're worried about than the technology that they're kind of worrying about. So I think there's a real reason to be like measured and like kind of cautious when we're thinking about these really apocalyptic scenarios, because of these kind of like self-fulfilling worries where raising the worries creates the thing you're worried about.
Joshua Habgood-Coote at the University of Leeds. We'll have a link to Joshua's preprint paper, Deepfakes and the Epistemic Apocalypse. That's at our website, marketplacetech.org. And if you're wondering about that deep history of deepfakes Joshua mentioned, he's posted some examples of early manipulated photographs over on his Twitter feed. They include a doctored photo from 1910 of a livestock auction where the horses and cows appear quite a bit larger than they should. Another from 1907 shows a supposed ear of corn that is so enormous it spans an entire railroad car. I guess exaggerated agricultural products were all the rage. The images are pulled from a book by Mia Feynman called Faking It, Manipulated Photography Before Photoshop. And if you missed it last week on the show, we talked about our present-day version of giant fake corn, all the AI music spreading on social media these days, including the fake Drake and the Weeknd song that went viral, and much more. It's at our website, marketplacetech.org. Jesus Alvarado produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.